So happy to have you with us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. And as I said a minute ago, there was a national study that showed that only 1 in 3 Americans have their advanced directives completed, with the majority of people in this study over the age of 65. Our guests today say that's not enough. That's too few. And we'll talk about why it's important to fill out those documents. And we'll answer your questions as well as we move along here. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you with us. With us by phone, Benjamin Adams. He is with the McCarty Law Firm in Appleton, specializes in advanced care planning and healthcare decision making. Benjamin, thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Larry. Thank you for having this topic today.
Yeah. With us as well, Ellen Koski. She's the executive director of the Fox Valley Advanced Care Planning Partnership. Ellen, thank you for being with us as well.
My pleasure. Happy to be here.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, great to have both of you here. They'll be answering your questions about what you need to do to make sure your wishes are known. So, have you filled out advanced directives? Why do you think it's important? If you haven't, why haven't you? We'd love to hear from you. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. And just to begin, let's talk about what advance directives are and who should have them. Ellen, do you want to start?
Sure, I'm happy to start. So advance directives are really the way for you to be able to speak and have your wishes be known regarding your health care, should you be unable to speak for yourself for any reason. So we never know what's going to happen due to accidents or sudden illness or other things that can take away that ability for us to advocate for ourselves, to speak for ourselves, and to let our healthcare providers know what type of care we want or don't want. So advanced care planning is the process that we need to go through to do this. And so it's really a process of thinking about what's important to you, what matters to you, what are your values, who knows you well enough that would be able to speak for you, tapping that person, having conversations with them, talking with them about what matters most to you, and then completing the legal documents that are very important everywhere, but are especially important in our state. So Wisconsin is not a next of kin state. So for adults 18 and older, our next of kin, whether that be our spouse or our parents or our eldest child or our children, they are not automatic decision makers. So it's really, really important that people complete the legal documents and get them done, and really, again, naming that person who you want to speak for you and what your wishes for healthcare are.
And Ben Adams, during this kind of time period, it might be a time when more people are thinking about it during the pandemic.
Yes, Larry, I agree. I think that everybody is thinking about it, whether they're having those thoughts in terms of, well, maybe I better think about this and communicate my preferences to my family or close friends, or whether they're thinking, gee, I've always thought I should do one of these documents. Maybe I better get it done. This pandemic is really focused on healthcare decision making. The real difficult part is that to do a legal document in Wisconsin, you need two witnesses to be with you and watch you sign it, and then you have to sign it. And it's very difficult for people right now in care facilities, as an example, to get these documents signed and witnessed. So what Ellen said is very important about the document and the importance. And, you know, as a lawyer, I tend to focus on documents and having them correctly completed. But it's equally important to talk with your family and close friends about what you think your wishes might be, what type of treatment you would want to accept or refuse under certain circumstances. And if we can have those discussions and communications, even without a document, a lot of times I think your wishes can be honored.
Well, that's important, but I think the document really makes the difference in the end, doesn't it?
It certainly does. So it's obviously the preferred thing to do, but as lawyers, we're finding it very difficult right now to get these signed. I know there are many healthcare providers and facilities in the state that offer people assistance in getting these discussions completed, getting the documents completed, and they're all doing, and we're all doing the best we can for individuals, but things have become a lot more challenging, Larry.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ellen Akosky, you're the executive director of the Fox Valley Advanced Care Planning Partnership. Could you explain what that's all about?
Yeah, so the Fox Valley Advanced Care Planning Partnership is a collaborative group. We are supported by Ascension Northeast Wisconsin, State of Care, Mosaic Family Health, and then the Fox Valley community. And what we're really tasked with is normalizing these conversations, getting information out to people, helping them understand the importance of having conversations about your wishes and who you would want to speak for you, as well as then the documents, but really normalizing it. This is important for anyone 18 and older, and the message changes over time. So obviously for people who are 18, just graduating from high school or on their way to college or just entering the workforce, different messages around the importance of this. As people, find a partner and if they choose to have children, the message changes around, what is the importance of this and what are the possible situations that someone may be in where this these documents would be important. As people get older, that changes also. And, so we're providing information, providing resources, and really connecting people to the resources that we have available in our community. The Fox Valley is very rich in resources, but so are other communities throughout the state of Wisconsin. And so we want to make sure, though, that people know that free help is available, either through classes or through appointments with facilitators. Here in the Fox Valley, we have community-based advanced care planning facilitators, so folks that are trained and able to meet with people where, under normal circumstances, where they're comfortable. We meet at the library or we meet in people's homes, but now we're meeting with people on the phone or virtually to help them complete these documents. But there's also free resources available from our healthcare system. And so we're guiding people back to where they're comfortable to get help with them. We're also supporting these ongoing conversations. So like I said, the conversation changes over time and the documents need to change over time. So as someone's family changes, or maybe they're getting close to retirement, or maybe they have a new diagnosis of a serious illness, that conversation needs to change with that, with their decision maker, their chosen decision maker, who we call an agent in our state, but also that whole family and that whole support system. Everyone should be on board with someone's wishes, and the best way to do that is to have ongoing, open conversations around what's important to us, what's meaningful for us, what matters most to us. We can get really specific around the treatments and things like that, but the fact of the matter is not, nobody really knows what's going to happen. And so, if we have a diagnosis, you can be more specific around treatments that might be appropriate or common with that diagnosis. But really stepping back a little bit and looking at, what do you value? What's important to you? What makes your life meaningful? Those are the conversations that, when anyone is put in a crisis situation, you can fall back on that information and help make decisions that are in line with your loved one's values and what's important to them, as opposed to focusing so much on the, specifics of medical treatment.
Ron and Kathy emailed that their original healthcare plan has 5 different signatures and same date on the last page. They moved about 10 miles some 3 to 4 years ago. Do they need to get these retyped with their new street address and then get all 5 different signatures? Benjamin?
Let me answer that one, Larry. Thanks. It is a good idea to update these documents periodically. People call often and say, hey, I did this a while ago. Do I need to change it? the fact that your address has changed isn't going to be a big issue. But if you look at the people you've listed for your agents, if a lot of their information has changed, they don't have the same phone number as an example, that might be a reason to do a new document and get all of that information made current. It's also possible that one of their agents may no longer be living or might no longer be one of their choices. And that would be a reason to, again, do a new document just to get everything as up to date as you can, get it signed by two independent witnesses along with yourself. Probably the extra signatures they have on that document, Larry, are the agents, the people who I appoint to be my decision makers, and none of those actually have to sign the documents. That's an optional signature. So they would not have to track down all the agents for their signatures if they did a new document.
Well, that would save a lot of work for sure. Talking today with Benjamin Adams, he's an attorney with McCarty Law Firm in Appleton, specializes in elder law, advanced care planning for healthcare decision making, guardianship, alternatives to guardianship, deals with a lot of those areas. Ellen Koski, executive director of the Fox Valley Advanced Care Planning Program, and it's great to have both of them with us during our spring membership drive. I think it's the kind of program that makes a difference in people's lives, in your life. It certainly makes a difference in mine. I think this kind of program keeps you connected with a lot of useful information, as well as news and culture from nearby and far away. Members make up the biggest share of our WPR funding, and I hope as we go through the show today that you will make a gift for those programs you count on, not only for yourself, but for your family members and really the entire community. So a good time to give would be now as we're doing this show. You can give at 888-202-2552. That's 888-202-2552. Or it's also easy to go online to WPR.org. That's WPR.org. It's our spring member drive. We're looking for your support today. There's needs everywhere. I know that we all have them, but I hope that you will find that WPR meets a lot of your needs and that you'll support us now. So give at 888-202-2552 or go online to WPR.org. Our guests will be with us till 12:30. We'll take a look at the news and then we'll be back. Stay with us. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Well, April 16th is National Healthcare Decisions Day. So I tell you what, it's a good time to talk with our guests today about advanced care planning. Benjamin Adams, an attorney with McCarty Law Firm in Appleton. He specializes in elder law, advanced care planning for healthcare decision making, guardianship, things of that nature. Ellen Koski is the executive director of the Fox Valley Advanced Care Planning Partnership. So, how will your medical decisions be made if you're not able to speak for yourself? Have advanced directive documents helped you when you or a loved one couldn't make decisions? I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And we have a caller online, Benjamin and Ellen, and let's take that call. Sandra in Madison, thank you for waiting. And what's on your mind?
Yeah, thanks. I'm in the process of completing these documents. I just need to sign them. But since I've been staying at home, I haven't been able to. And since the coronavirus, and in light of that, I'm wondering if maybe, or another virus, some virus that we may not know, should these documents address maybe some specific situations? For instance, in the coronavirus, I was thinking of a ventilator. I mean, I think the documents I'm about to sign are pretty general. So I would like your thoughts on that, please.
Sure. Ben, let's turn to you first. Yeah.
Thanks, Larry. The documents are, generally speaking, always going to be pretty general unless you have a specific health issue that you know you are anticipating decisions to come from. So I think that's why I said in an earlier comment that conversations with your agents are so critical, because your wishes may change and the hope of recovery may change. So I, at least for myself, I want my agents to have some flexibility around those decisions. Larry, we did send in some documents, which I know you've listed on your page, that the public could access through the page, and hopefully people can be told how to get to those. I think those would be very helpful to the caller and to other people who are interested.
Yeah, the title of that was A Gift to Your Family Planning Guide and Advanced Care Planning in Wisconsin. And those guides are linked in the program notes. If you go to WPR.org/Larry, look over on the right there, you'll see program notes, and they're right there. So just click on that at WPR.org/Larry, and then look at program notes over on the right side of the page. And go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sorry about that. One of the other resources that is listed that might be particularly useful for this caller is called Being Prepared in the Time of COVID-19. And this is a resource from an organization called The Conversation Project. And so you can also find it at The Conversation Project, all one word, .org/COVID-19. And it's a handout that really walks you through our normal steps for advanced care planning. So picking your person to be your healthcare decision maker, which we call that an agent in our state, talking about what matters most to you. So again, you know, keeping it pretty general, but really focusing on your values. And then on the back, there's some really great questions that can help you sort of imagine, you know, it says think about what you would want if you became seriously ill with COVID-19. And then there's some more information. So, and you could just, you know, replace COVID-19 with any illness that's out there, as the caller said, you know, anything that's communicable, or even, you know, if you were in an accident. And it just, it walks you through and really breaks down some of these questions. And on that this worksheet format is really great to use as you talk with your agent. So many of these things that we're thinking about, especially in this time of COVID-19, we don't have to go out and complete a new document if we don't already have one. So I could step back and say, if you don't have one, get it done. But if you already have one that meets your needs generally, we don't have to really change anything on the document regarding COVID-19, but you can change those conversations and write down your wishes. And so this is great in terms of, you know, what is most important to you? What are you most worried about? If you became very sick, would you want to stay home or would you want to go to the hospital? So really kind of putting out some of these scenarios that are facing people who get very sick with COVID-19 right now. And you can, you know, feel confident and comfortable putting those wishes down in writing and then having that conversation with your agent. For people who are at very high risk, this is also a great conversation to have with their doctor on the phone. And so the doctor can, either their primary care doctor or a specialist that they're working with, if they have fears or specific wishes, should they be hospitalized, that doctor can put those into the medical record and into the notes. So should it come to that, then somebody knows about what the patient's wishes are too.
And again, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call, Sandra. Anne in Waukesha, we'll turn to you next. Hi,
Hello.
Anne. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. About 5 or 6 years ago, my husband and I went to a lawyer and signed all the documents and all the information is still our intent, but he turned it into his doctor a couple months ago, and they sent it back and said my husband had put his birth date in a field that was meant to hold today's date. So it doesn't match the signature of the witnesses, which was the lawyer and his assistant. So they said they can't guarantee the doctors will follow it unless we get it fixed. The lawyer has since retired. Like, can we just cross that date off and put in the correct one? It's pretty obvious what happened, or do we need to get this all redone now?
And this is Ben. That's a great question, and we run into this a lot of times. That's, you know, you would like to hope that everybody would honor it the way it's written, but I can certainly see that it might be pushed back against, or that a medical system might have definite issues with it. So my advice would be to get a new document. You can get them from the links on Larry's page for the show today, and just complete it, and then get together with a couple independent people who can be your witnesses and sign a new one. You are not required to use a lawyer to do these documents, but you do need to be sure that they're correctly done. And it may be, if you did this 5 years ago, it may be that some of the other information for you and your husband or your agents might need to be updated at any event. But you can't go back to an old witness document and make changes to it. That would invalidate the document.
Oh, there we go. And again, you can go to WPR.org/Larry. Look over in the notes side, WPR.org/Larry, for those forms. And thank you very much for calling, and appreciate it. Well, let's go to Laura in East Troy next. Hi, Laura.
Hello. My question is, I'm mostly handicapped, but not my brain. And I am now remotely connected to anybody in my family and live alone. And I'm wondering who I can possibly pick if I change from a family member, even friends. Maybe I would connect them. Could pay them to cover me. That's my main question.
Yeah. Well, Ellen, do you want to take a try at that?
Yeah, sure. I will defer to Ben, but I'll just add something in the beginning. That's a great question, and it's very common. And so the person that you choose to be your decision maker or your agent doesn't have to be related to you. So it can absolutely be a close friend, or an extended family member, or, you know, someone that you would trust to speak for you, as long as they are willing to do that. And so in our state, we don't have to ask agents before we put their names down, but we highly recommend that people do. So to have a conversation with, you know, a friend or two that you would trust to speak for you, that you would, that you're confident that they would have your best interest and be able to speak for you, and ask them if they'd be willing to do that. The healthcare agent doesn't have anything to do with finances or anything like that. It's only about decisions around your healthcare. And at that, I would turn it over to Ben to talk about the differences.
Yeah, Laura, that's a situation that a lot of people do find themselves in, where you may have family or you may not have family, but it's important to try to find somebody that you can designate to be your healthcare decision maker, or on the financial side, somebody that could keep your bills paid and take care of those kinds of arrangements, which would be what's usually referred to as a durable power of attorney document. Up here in the Appleton area, we do have a couple of independent guardianship agencies, and normally those agencies, they are appointed by the court to make decisions or handle matters for somebody who's not competent any longer or was never competent to make their own choices. However, those agencies will also voluntarily be willing to serve as some people's power of attorney agent. So I don't know if down in the East Troy area there would be an independent guardianship agency that might be willing to do that, or if you had a friend who knew you well enough that and would be willing to make those choices for you or step into that role, that would be the way I guess I would recommend things. But it can certainly be a challenge to find somebody who you can count on. And it's probably not the best to just name one person. It's a good idea to give some thought to, well, if that person's not available in the future, who would my backup choice or my second backup choice be, and try to get at least some fallback folks listed on this document.
Laura, I hope that helps. Thank you so much for calling. Did that help out?
How about documenting with trying to get notaries these days with the bank office closed? How can I expect to get those things taken care of?
That's a great question. With this document for the healthcare power of attorney should not be notarized any time. So this is for this document to be made legal. You need two witnesses, and as we mentioned, that's a challenge at any time, but especially now that we're limiting interaction with other people. So on one of the documents that's listed on the website, we share some example or opportunities of who potential witnesses might be. So to make it legal, you have to have two people watch you sign it. They have to sign it on the same day as you. They cannot be related to you or work for your healthcare system unless they are a social worker or a chaplain. So it's a challenge. So we've suggested reaching out to friends or to neighbors at a distance if they can watch you sign the document, coworkers for people who are still going into work, people from your faith community or your church if you are meeting in any way, in person, but also possibly utilizing your bank drive-through. Call ahead, see if there would be two tellers that would be there and able to watch you sign it from through the window, put it through and have them witness it for you, and possibly your lawyer's office, if that's appropriate, could help with that too.
All right.
Law offices are trying to accommodate these needs, of course. Many attorneys are doing signing of legal documents out in the parking lot of the law office, where the witnesses will be outside the car at some distance and documents will be passed back and forth, and people appropriately with masks and gloves wherever possible. So, but it's a terrific challenge to get these things accomplished right now.
Yeah. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call and good luck. Appreciate it. Maggie in Racine, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Maggie.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Appreciate your call.
Thank you. I love the program. Through experience, so my father was very ill in the hospital, and we had gone through the whole, getting the directive done, doing the advanced directives, doing everything, the medical, PPO, everything. So when he was in the hospital then, and he was very ill, he didn't want to answer any questions. He didn't want them to ask him questions. Do you want this? This is the next treatment. Would you like this? Number one, he couldn't hear that good, so you'd always have to re-explain it to him so he could hear, check and make sure that he could hear. And the hospital would not activate his medical PPO. They said it was against his rights because he could still answer the question of who is the president, what is your address, and what is the date, the year. And they would not activate it. So they kept on, and then they wouldn't follow through with different things because until I got to the hospital and told him what they said and said, yeah, Dad, this is a good idea. Or, I think that if this is what they're saying, you could do this or this, whatever you feel comfortable with like that. They would not. It was a very bad experience. And they said, nope. And they had the psychologist evaluate him, and I followed through and forced the issue and said, then evaluate him again, and they still wouldn't activate it. And so it was like even more stressful for him in the condition he was already in. Is that legal that they can do that?
Ben, let me turn to you.
Yeah, that's a real stressful and difficult story to hear, Maggie, but it's not unheard of. One of the problems with these healthcare directives is that in general, they're written so that the person signing them who's creating the directive still remains their own decision maker until they become incapacitated. And that judgment has to be made by medical professionals after they in the future examine that person. It is possible, however, to create a healthcare power of attorney that takes effect immediately, that gives your agent authority immediately rather than on a deferred basis that's subject to that activation. It's not done all that often, and I don't think the medical systems are very used to seeing that, but that's certainly something that can be done, and I've done that for clients sometimes where we knew we had someone who wanted to have some input from other individuals in their care decision making, but they didn't want it to have to wait like your dad's was set up to be triggered in the future at a point of incapacity. So I'm sorry that happened. It sounds like an awful mess that you had to go through. One of the immediately effective documents, might have helped to make it go more smoothly, but it sounds like when you got there, to some extent, you were at least able to influence the direction of the care and treatment, or at least I hope so.
Yeah. Maggie, Ellen, did you want to comment as well?
No, I just would reiterate what Ben said. That sounds like a very stressful situation on top of a very stressful situation, and I'm really sorry to hear that. That there wasn't more support there to help with the process.
Thank you again. Lou Ray in El Dorado, it's your turn. Hi, Lou Ray.
Hi there. I do not have internet access, and I'm very interested in getting the documents that you've been talking about. How might I do that?
Lou Ray, this is Ellen. I'm happy to send documents out. Larry, is it possible to get a mailing address offline, and we can pass these out? Otherwise, we also have them on our website. You do get access, but we're happy to share, or you can give us a call at the partnership if you have any questions. Also,
tell you what,
Ellen, you want to give her your phone number?
Yeah, I can do that. I'm not sure if you want to. So my phone number, the partnership for the Fox Valley Advanced Care Planning Partnership, and again, I'm happy to answer questions and direct people also to their local resources, is 920-997-8412.
So 920, what
yep,
are
997.
997.
Yep.
Okay.
8412.
Okay, 920-997-8412?
12. Yep, 12.
So there you go, Lou Ray. Thank you so much for that question. And Ben and Ellen, I want to thank you both so much for being with us today. I think we answered a lot of questions, and I hope we have a chance to do this yet again.
Thanks, Larry. I also want to acknowledge the State Bar Association of Wisconsin for making the Gift to Your Family planning guide available for free to the public for the next 2 weeks. And that guide is referenced on the documents on your page. So thanks so much for acknowledging National Healthcare Decisions Week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the opportunity. We're happy to get this information out, and we like to think of every day as National Healthcare Decisions Day, so we're always advocating for this work and making resources available.
Well, thanks again, both Ben Adams with McCarty Law Firm in Appleton, one of our guests, and Ellen Koski of the Fox Valley Advanced Care Planning Partnership. Great to have them with us. We're in our spring member drive. It's your chance to help us out today, and I hope you will. with a contribution to WPR at 888-202-2552 or go to WPR.org and make your contribution. And again, find those pieces of information, the documents, at WPR.org/Larry. Thank you for listening, and please do stay with us. Lots more in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mehler.